more per ounce. Call 866-880-7826, 866-880-STAN, and get a full quart of TR10 Super Colloidal Silver for just $29.95.
You're listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And today we're going to be talking about, well, the death of Martin Luther King and the trial that was held not too many years ago, where the family was bringing charges suggesting that rather than the story we were told about James Earl Ray being the lone assassin who, for some strange reason, decided he was going to kill one of the most influential men in America, that this was some sort of a government operation, or at least that the government was covering up the truth. Well, of course, now we can fast forward to where we are today, and we see that the war on terror is being fought as a result of what happened on 9-1-1, and the president talks about how we're fighting terrorism over in Baghdad. Better to fight it in Baghdad than to fight it on terrorism on the streets of America, and the war in Iraq is all about terrorism, and I just don't believe that's true. Any more than I believe that James Earl Ray was the solitary assassin of Martin Luther King. In fact, I think he was a patsy. But with us today is Mr. Jim Douglas, who actually was there at the trial. And I'm going to let him tell you about the trial, what happened at this trial. And the most significant thing is, it has been almost totally blacked out. The average American has no idea that the trial was held, has no idea what the result of the trial was, has no idea that the jury who heard all the evidence believed the government was instrumental in the murder of Martin Luther King and has been covering it up. And how could you cover something like that up? Well, Mr. Douglas is writing a book, and hopefully it'll be available very soon. Jim, why don't you go ahead and give us the background, who you are, and how it is that you happened to go to that trial and what you learned.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. I'm a former university professor. I'm retired. I taught at the University of Hawaii in Honolulu when Dr. King was assassinated, and I've been haunted by his death ever since because it changed my life. I was teaching a course on the theology of peace, and we were studying Dr. King's work, and when he was assassinated, my students decided that they wanted to follow as well as they could in his footsteps. And since he had come out full square against the Vietnam War, they took a stand against the Vietnam War. And within a few weeks, I found myself in jail with my students for blocking a troop convoy of some of our friends who had been being taken off to the Vietnam War. But many years later, in 1999, I had been by that time investigating the assassination of Dr. King, and I learned that there was going to be a trial. I had been following the rifle testing of James Earl Ray's rifle. I had begun going to the court in Memphis where Ray's rifle was being tested to see if he was entitled to a real trial. He had never had a real trial. And in the course of that testing, Ray died. And so he was no longer available for possible testimony as to what really happened to Dr. King. And that's when the King family began a wrongful death lawsuit because they had been convinced that Ray was innocent of the crime. And the way that took place was through a man named Lloyd Jowers, who actually confessed to his involvement in the assassination of Dr. King.
All right. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest, Jim Douglas. We're going to be talking about this trial. I wonder how many of you out there in the listening audience heard about it. And if it was held and you never heard about it, there must have been, well, there must have been a pretty well-organized effort to conceal the truth.
If you're thinking about replacing your home's windows, think Sears. Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilt in for easy cleaning, and may also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and save $375 on select styles. Trust Sears for professional installation, convenient financing options, and best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call Sears now at 1-800-393-8378 and save $375 on select styles. Offer ends 9/30/06. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now, 1-800-393-8378. That's 1-800-393-8378.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard to find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course we're talking to Jim Douglas, who's a retired professor. We're talking about the death of Martin Luther King, and so apparently there was going to be a trial in, what was it, about 1999, and what did they find when they tested that rifle? Was there some serious question whether that rifle was the one that killed Martin Luther King?
The judge who was responsible for the testing is a judge that people can recognize, Judge Joe Brown. He's now on television, and in those days he didn't have any television show. He testified in the trial that 67% of the bullets from my test, he said, did not match the Ray rifle, and he said that because the rifle scope had not been sighted, this weapon literally could not have hit the broadside of a barn. But even more important testimony than Judge Brown's was that of James Earl Ray's attorney in 1968. He's now become a judge here in Birmingham, Judge Arthur Haynes, Jr. He testified in the trial that he had interviewed Guy Knipe, the owner of the Knipe Amusement Company, where the rifle had been dropped, supposedly by accident by James Earl Ray, or in a hurry, something along that unlikely line, when he was rushing toward a car. But Judge Haynes, who was then lawyer Arthur Haynes Jr., he said he had interviewed the man who owned the store in the doorway of which the bundle had been dropped that included the rifle, and that man is now deceased. But he had told Judge Haynes that the package with the rifle in it was dropped 10 minutes before the shot was fired that killed Dr. King. In other words, it was a planted rifle. So the testimony about the rifle, from whatever standpoint, whether logistics or ballistics or in terms of the witnesses, it all made it impossible for that to have been the rifle that killed Dr. King. There were other witnesses who testified that the shot was fired not from the rooming house where James Earl Ray had been registered. It was fired instead from a bunch of bushes across the street from the Lorraine Motel where Dr. King was staying. And the site of bushes, heavy bushes, directly across the street where witnesses said the real shot came from, that site was cut down by the sanitation department the next morning at 7 a.m. so that there was no crime site. In other words, the crime scene was destroyed by the sanitation department under the order of the Memphis Police Department early the next morning after Dr. King was assassinated. So as of 9 o'clock the next day, you can no longer see the bushes and the heavy bushes and trees which had shielded the actual assassin from across the street. The assassination also included a contingency plan of an Army Special Forces team that was stationed on high-level sites around the Lorraine Motel. They included snipers on a water tower and on two high buildings that were waiting to fire on order at 6 p.m. a shot to kill Dr. King, and they didn't fire because someone else fired from the bushes. In other words, there were contingency plans as to kill King by the Special Forces team if the shooter from the bushes didn't get him, and the Special Forces team didn't even know about the shooter from the bushes.
Well, now, how did that information come out? Did anybody from the Special Forces team testify? Did somebody talk to the people? I mean, how did we have that information? Where did it come from?
That information came in particular from a man who was a CIA operative, and his name is Jack Terrell. He testified by videotape. He was very, very ill, living in Florida, and he testified that his best friend, a man named J.D. Hill, had been a member of that Special Forces team, and that not long before Hill's own death, he told Jack Terrell about the sniper team and that they had been assigned to shoot an unknown target on April 4th, and they come in, and then the target was eventually identified. They were pulled out immediately after the assassination, or just at that time. And there were other witnesses that information that came also, but it was less direct than Jack Terrell's regarding the Special Forces team.
And so they would. Does the CIA or whoever coordinates these things then sometimes use this Special Forces as assassins?
That was the testimony of Douglas Valentine, who had written an important book on the Phoenix program, on the CIA's counterintelligence program against Vietnamese villagers, and he said that that he met with members of Special Forces who had been redeployed back in the U.S. to carry out such actions within the United States. And he testified in the trial that the Army's 111th Military Intelligence Group was keeping Martin Luther King under 24-hour-a-day surveillance, and that he understood that members of that unit were also on the top of the fire station across the street at the time of King's assassination.
Okay.
And a member of the fire department testified that he had actually shown Army intelligence agents up to the roof on that day. His name is Carthel Whedon. He testified that they had been on the roof of the fire station 2, directly across the street from the Lorraine Motel, all day. He showed them up there. They asked to go up there early in the day.
Well, you know, the thing is that what we're talking about is a very, very vast conspiracy. And, of course, you could see why the military would want to get rid of King. Martin Luther King, he was just speaking out against the war. And,
yes.
And certainly he had been built up as the leader of the civil rights movement, and certainly he had accomplished a great deal. But now he was coming out against the war, and the military industrial establishment certainly wasn't going to have this man, force them to leave before the time had come.
That's right. And he also was on the verge of his most ambitious and perhaps most threatening action in terms of what the government was anticipating, the Poor People's Campaign. His coming to Memphis on behalf of the striking sanitation workers at that time, April 4, 1968, was the first step toward his campaign to abolish poverty in the United States. And that meant that approximately 2 weeks to a month after Memphis, he and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference were going to lead a rainbow community, that is, people of every background, racial background, from every part of the United States, to Washington, D.C., really ask for the end of systemic poverty within the United States. And they were going to engage in wave upon wave of massive nonviolent civil disobedience to basically shut down Washington, D.C., until a commitment would be made to abolish poverty in the United States. So Memphis was the last stop before Washington for Dr. King in that campaign, which basically fell apart after his assassination.
Well, certainly there must have been a great deal of testimony there. Now, my understanding was that you were there for the entire trial.
I was.
What about the rest of the media? How much coverage does this get from the general media, this trial?
Virtually none. The media were there to some degree on the first few days of the trial because Coretta Scott King was there, Andrew Young was there, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, and the King family members were there the entire trial. There was always somebody from the King family who was present. So they took pictures. The media took pictures of these people outside the court, but they didn't include their testimony. The most remarkable testimony came in some ways from the King family, and since nobody heard it at that trial, I want to tell you, tell your listeners, what Dexter King, for example, Dr. King's son, said in his testimony. He said that the most important thing about the trial was not how Dr. King got killed, which was shown in massive form. There were 70 witnesses who testified to basically to how he got killed. He said the most basic question was, why was he killed? And he said, because if you answer the why, you will understand the same things are still happening. Unless we address that, we're all in trouble.
Okay.
And he told how his mother, Coretta Scott King, talked to him about it, because he realized as the trial was coming on that suddenly there was a lot of negative publicity. There was nothing about the trial, but there was negative publicity about the family, the King family. And he asked his mother, why is this going on? which suddenly become very unpopular. And she reminded me, this is what he said in his testimony. She said, "Dexter, your dad and I have lived through this once already. You have to understand that when you take a stand against the establishment, first you will be attacked. There is an attempt to discredit you. Second, an attempt to try and character assassinate. And
hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant that protects our immune system, but we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters, and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available from Radio Liberty, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Radio Liberty Health Catalog.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout. Developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
If you're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up, now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsafegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsafegas.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course we're really talking about the strange assassination of Martin Luther King. Of course, it wasn't strange. He was killed by hit teams. But the cover-up of this is the most incredible thing, like the cover-up of the true cause of the death of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the cover-up of the death of Bobby Kennedy. Saran was standing in front, but all the shots hit Bobby from behind. However, the story of Martin Luther King was told in a trial that most people never heard of. So you were just saying, Jim, that you know that Martin Luther King's son was testifying, and his wife, his mother had talked about how they'd been through this before. Do you want to complete that statement?
Yes, Dr. Stan. He said that she had told him that they'd gone through that already, and that Dr. King himself, of course, had been attacked by being discredited first, and second, as Dexter King said, his mother told him, they will try to character assassinate you, and third, she said, ultimately, physical termination or assassination is what happens to you. And then he went on to say, now the truth of the matter is, if my father had stopped and not spoken out, if he had just somehow compromised, he would probably still be here with us today in 1999. But the minute you start talking about redistribution of wealth and stopping a major conflict, the Vietnam War, which also has economic ramifications, then his voice trailed off. That was his concluding testimony to the trial from the major witnesses. And that testimony was carried in no media. This was remarkable stuff that he was saying. No media, to my knowledge, cited a single word of his testimony. I was looking everywhere the next day and in the next weeks, and except for articles that I wrote about it myself, one of which appeared in the Christian Century, nobody cited that testimony of Dexter King. They're supposed to be one of the two great families of America, the King family and the Kennedy family, and neither, when it comes to key issues like this, get anywhere.
Well, now, basically, what was the source of the trial? In other words, was it an effort to determine whether James Earl Ray was guilty? Was it an effort to determine the part that the government played? What was the major thrust of the trial? Was there a jury there?
There was a jury of 6 black and 6 white people, 12 people, who made the finding in the trial. But before I get to that, the purpose of the trial was simply to make public the evidence that the King family had already been presented with by William F. Pepperidge, Jr., who is an attorney who had been representing James Earl Ray for a number of years and who had, by his investigation, come across all these witnesses, or a number of them, that eventually appeared in the trial. So what the King family wanted to do was to make all this public and do so in a courtroom so that people like ourselves could then have this information, which we didn't get through the media, but which fortunately is now on record and can be found at also at thekingcenter.com, where it's on a website. But when it came to the conclusion of the trial, the 6 black and the 6 white jurors came in with a verdict in approximately an hour. It didn't take long. It was very obvious. And they ruled that Dr. King had been killed. It was a wrongful death lawsuit. He had been killed by the judge. The judge asked him, do you also find that others, including government agencies, were parties to this conspiracy? And they said yes.
And of course,
definitely said yes.
That was never really picked up by the general media, and anybody who mentioned it was maybe published one time and then totally ignored after that.
Yes.
You see, if they want to draw your attention to it, they talk about it day after day after day on ABC, CBS, NBC,
sure,
Time, Newsweek, U.S. News and World Report, and all the usual suspects. But in this instance, they could not let the American people know that this man who had been held up as a hero had been killed by the very government that he had been working so hard to improve. So under any circumstances, of course, there's a lot of material out there that suggests that Martin Luther King was, a womanizer. Did you ever look into that? Do you think there's any truth to it? Or was that all part of the assassination program, the character assassination?
anybody can be character assassinated. And Martin Luther King was not a perfect human being, and he did engage in activities that, including...
Hold that thought. We'll have to wait till we get back.
Okay.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution, to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Mr. Jim Douglas, and we're talking about the trial of the, so it was to determine whether James Earl Ray was really behind the murder of Martin Luther King, or if the government was involved. And, of course, the jury, six men and six women who, pardon me, six blacks and six whites who heard the trial, came to the conclusion that James Earl Ray was not the murderer and that the government was involved and it was a cover-up. Now, this is one of the great conspiracies of all time. And this is still being concealed to this very day. And until the American people understand that all you need is enough power, enough threats, and the realization on the part of people who know the truth that if they speak out, they may end up like Martin Luther King, an awful lot of people would rather be silenced. And I suspect that some of the people had come forward because they knew they were about to die. Do you think that's partly true, Mr. Douglas?
Yes, it is true. And also because that King's family had taken a stand by this time, and some of this information had begun to come forward, and here was an opportunity to testify in an actual courtroom where the testimony would become at least public information. So witnesses came forward who up to that time had hesitated to do so. And in regard to the character assassination of Dr. King, it's like the character assassination of John Kennedy. And like Mrs. King said, it leads up to and it complements the actual physical assassination. The two go hand in hand. And in fact, the character assassination that occurs after the death of it, whether it be John Kennedy or Martin Luther King, is for purposes of propaganda to keep us from paying attention to why they were killed. They weren't killed because of any personal misdoings on their part with regard to marital relations. They were killed because they took stands, and because those stands were dangerous to the established power of the government and of the interest behind the government. So the surveillance that led to these claims against Dr. Martin Luther King, that he was engaged in extramarital affairs, that was all carried out by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Army Intelligence. There was testimony on that in the trial. He was under 24-hour-a-day surveillance. They had bugged his bathroom, his bedroom, his telephone. Every word that Dr. King was saying was being taken down by federal agents. Now, I ask you, if this is being done to your or my existence, they're going to find out something that can be used to discredit us personally. And, of course, this is all criminal activity on the part of the government. So that's the crime that's involved in the question of Dr. King's immorality. It's the crime of total personal surveillance to dig out anything they can. And as we know, J. Edgar Hoover sent a tape, which is supposedly a tape of Dr. King engaging in some illicit activity, to him and to his wife in order to get him to commit suicide. This is before the assassination was carried out. He was supposed to commit suicide by them blackmailing him so badly by these tapes and by threatening to take them to media. That's how the media was being used. Media won't report the trial, but the media was being used to discredit Dr. King. And that was the background to the assassination. He wouldn't kowtow to any of that. He went ahead with his resistance to the Vietnam War. He went ahead with his plans for the Poor People's Campaign. He said, I don't care if you try to destroy me. I'm still going to do what I think is God's will and what I think is necessary for justice and peace in this world. That's
well, I think
it's felt they had to kill him.
I think that your point is so correct. The issue is not whether he had had an extramarital affair. The issue was he killed as a result of a government conspiracy? So what they want to do is shift the emphasis away from, you know, did the government have him killed? And we don't know who in the government. We can only surmise that it was someone of the intelligence agencies, or maybe several of them working in concert. But what they want to do is distract our attention away from there and then make it, well, it's certainly Martin Luther King wasn't a very good guy, and he did all these things, and some of the people around him were scoundrels, and that may very well be true. But that isn't the issue, because they don't really want to talk about the real issue, and that is that they killed Martin Luther King because of what he was doing and because he had such a tremendous following. And he was becoming a danger to the people who really run America. Well, what were some of the other things? You say there were almost 70 people who testified at the trial?
Yes. There were witnesses to the withdrawal of security from Dr. King, which were who were extremely important. The security that King normally had when he came to Memphis was provided by a team of black security officers, and the man in charge of that team testified at the trial and said that for the first time, Dr. King has been to Memphis a number of times before, he was not asked to form the team of very loyal black security officers around Dr. King. And instead, there was no security team around Dr. King. So it's like creating a vacuum of security around him. Then, as another example, The fire station across the street from Dr. King, from the Lorraine Motel where he was killed, had two black firefighters in it, who were one of whom was engaged in the involved in the civil rights movement and who heard Dr. King speak the night before. Those two the only two black police or fire department firefighters were in Fire Station 2. They were both taken off their jobs at Fire Station 2 the morning of April 4th and redeployed at fire stations where they were not needed. That is, they became extraneous at the new fire stations, and the fire station they left no longer had enough members to do its job, Fire Station 2. There was also an intelligence officer, a black African-American detective, Ed Reddit, who had a surveillance post at Fire Station 2 where he was watching Dr. King all the time and people going to and from his room. And, of course, Reddit had sympathies for Dr. King. And on the afternoon of April 4th, approximately 3 hours, well, 2 hours before the actual assassination, Reddit was withdrawn from his intelligence surveillance post at Fire Station 2 so that he could not be an observer to what happened at the time of the assassination. And the excuse given in his case was that there was a threat on his life. He protested. He was taken before police and fire director Frank Holloman, who said, oh, there's been a threat on your life. We just learned about it from Washington. And Reddit protested, and Holloman assigned him to go home. He didn't want him at the fire station. And that police and fire director, who was over all of these people in the Memphis Police Department that have been accused of involvement, his name was Frank Holloman. He was a retired FBI agent, and he had spent 25 years in the FBI, just recently had become head of the Memphis Police and Fire Departments, and he had been J. Edgar Hoover's appointment secretary for 10 years. This is the man who was directing the immediate security of Dr. King, in quotes, in Memphis.
So you can see this nice little package that they've got. They've got the people from the FBI there running the police in Memphis and the fire department, you know, and so make sure that there's no protection at all for Martin Luther King. Just as before they assassinated JFK, instead of having the army, you know, come in and have them posted on all the roofs and checking all the windows along the parade route like they ordinarily would, you know, they were not assigned to do that. In fact, the Secret Service was supposed to be running besides JFK's car, you know, to prevent him from being shot from the side. You see this all the time. The Secret Service is there. But they were told not to be beside his car. They were to stay back behind the next car. So everything was planned, and almost as if exactly the same people were planning the murder of both of these people. This was obviously very, very carefully and very well planned. Now, certainly, when the jury came out with their decision, was there any financial remuneration? Was there any financial consideration? Or was it just, well, the government did it, but so what?
The King family, to make clear that they were not in it for the money, of course, they spent a lot of money bringing in all these witnesses and preparing for the trial. They were asked by their lawyer, William F. Pepper, what they would ask in money from Lloyd Jowers, the one man who was explicitly a defendant, who had confessed to involvement by holding the rifle, the actual rifle that killed Dr. King, and who had the bar and grill across from the Lorraine Motel, which where the rifle was kept in the days just prior to the assassination. Now, they said, well, when they were asked what financial damage they would ask for the killing of perhaps the greatest man in American history, Martin Luther King, our greatest prophet, they said $100. That's what they asked for, $100. In other words, their purpose in the trial had nothing to do with money. It had to do only with putting the evidence out there so that you and I can know by the testimony of these witnesses how Dr. King was killed and why he was killed.
Well, now, Chris, who defended Mr. Jowers? And was this a government defense? Did the government put up the money for his defense, or did he have to defend himself?
Mr. Jowers was defended by a man named Garrison, who's a good attorney who works in Memphis, Tennessee. And the way in which the trial has been discredited is because Jowers had already confessed, and in a way his confession and his defense complemented the prosecution, because Jowers said, yeah, I was involved, but I was basically just doing the government's work.
Right.
And so people who want to discredit the trial say, well, Mr. Jowers was cooperating with the defense. In a sense, that's true. But the problem with getting the government into a courtroom is rather large when they're involved in an assassination. Because of the government's what they call sovereign immunity, it is not possible to put a U.S. intelligence agency in the dock of a U.S. criminal court. So it was an extremely providential combination of circumstances that allowed this trial to take place. The government is not going to authorize a trial to be held against itself, but it was a civil case in Memphis against Lloyd Jowers and, quote, unidentified co-conspirators, unquote. That was the nature of the trial. And the unidentified co-conspirators, as it became clear in the course of the trial, were U.S. government agencies, and that's what the jury found. It was very, very remarkable. And the judge, Judge Swearingen, it was the last case of his career as a judge. He died not too long afterwards. An African-American, very gentle, very courageous African-American man who had the courage to allow all of this to take place in his courtroom. There are not very, very many judges who would have allowed those witnesses to say what they said, but he did. And the combination of that judge and that kind of a wrongful death lawsuit and Lloyd Jowers having already confessed is what made possible that testimony going on record, because the U.S. government is not going to allow itself to be tried in a U.S. court.
Well, I'm old enough to remember when James Earl Ray was initially arrested,
yes,
and indicted and charged, and,
yes,
and of course they put him into a room with lights on and music all the time. He couldn't,
yes,
sleep for days at a time, mm-hmm, and he was really talked into confessing to a crime he didn't commit by his lawyer, and of course he did, was made some sort of plea agreement, and then they let him sleep for a couple of days. He came back and he,
yeah,
said he wanted a trial, and, yeah, I remember the judge was a man named Judge Battle.
That's
who,
right,
said, well, yes, certainly the circumstances will consider that, and you'd never guess what happened to Judge Battle.
He
didn't live very long. He didn't live more than a day or two.
That's correct.
And, of course,
the order to assign a new trial for Ray was sitting on his desk.
And when he up and died, wasn't that a coincidence that Judge Battle died just a day or two after he agreed to a new trial for James Earl Ray? Because,
right,
the one thing that they could not allow was for the American people to know the truth about what happened to JFK or Bobby Kennedy or Martin Luther King.
And
any more than they can allow the American,
well,
people to know the truth about what really happened on 9/11. And they're frantic because I think now with the evidence we have from the past and their skullduggery and killing Martin Luther King and the others, I think more and more people are beginning to question why we're involved in a war on terror, why we're fighting overseas. And so they all tie together. But you're writing a book on this now. When will the book be out?
Oh, my book won't be out for some time, but I would refer people to a book that's already published by William F. Pepper called An Act of State. The subtitle is The Execution of Martin Luther King. William F. Pepper, like salt and pepper. And that's published by Verso, V-E-R-S-O, Verso. And Dr. Pepper is the lawyer who did the trial. So the basic information that I've been giving you is in that book, An Act of State, or it can be found in articles I've written, one of which is at the Probe, P-R-O-B-E, magazine website. Just go for Probe, and you'll find my article on the Martin Luther King conspiracy exposed in Memphis.
All right, fine. Now, what year was that?
That was published in May, June 2000. It's but if you just go to the Probe magazine website, I think it's the first article they have on their website, P-R-O-B-E. And but it's the Martin Luther King conspiracy exposed in Memphis.
Well, do you have a telephone number or website of your own you'd like to get? Otherwise, we just send people to Probe.
Not really. I'd say the Probe magazine website is the one to go to because it has basic information on all of these assassinations, and it includes also Malcolm X, whom I would include with the three that you've already mentioned.
I think you're absolutely right. And well, our guest has been Mr. Jim Douglas, and we've been talking about the murder of Martin Luther King, and there's no question at all, the government had him killed. Somebody in the government, we don't know whom, but we do know that the cover-up could only have been carried out with the complicity of the entire media. Jim, thanks very much for being with us. I hope we can get you onto our other programs as well.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Have you ever wondered why the incidence of cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there and you agree with us, Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, you know, for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month or CDs, and then you'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do 5 hours a day. Now, I do want to mention I'll be speaking on Saturday at the Santa Rosa Christian Church in Santa Rosa. If you're interested in coming, it's from 8:30. I won't be there. So I'll be one of the four speakers. But program goes from 8:30 until about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you live in that area and interested, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll get you more information. Then, of course, we're going to be putting on our annual conference, and that's going to be here in the Monterey Bay area, beautiful part of the country. And that's going to be on the 29th of October, all day long. Great speakers coming from all over the country. And if you're going to come, especially if you're coming from outside the area, and you need a hotel room, we need to know in the next couple of weeks, because they're only going to hold our rooms until, I think, the 28th of September, and then you're going to have to pay the full freight on them. So if you're going to come, why, give us a call now. Otherwise, certainly we want you to make your reservations, because, of course, for serving lunch, we have to know how many people are coming. And then, of course, if you're interested in the health products or food products or certainly the informational and educational products we have catalogs for all of them. We'd be glad to send you one free of charge. You have to understand that there is another dimension. There is a spiritual dimension out there, and people can actually contact that spiritual dimension. People are actually communicating with these demonic spirits and actually being controlled by them. And if you doubt that, you need to see some of the things we have, like the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, or Joe Schimmel's latest production of the Da Vinci Con. That's the Da Vinci Con. I'll tell you, that is an amazing, amazing, almost 3-hour video. And it goes into the Hollywood's attack on America. Hollywood's attack on the morality of our people, and it all comes from the occult. If you'd like to know more about how this works, we have three little pamphlets. They're called The Occult Hierarchy. You can get all three of them for $9.95. But a tremendous amount of great information there that will give you insight into what's going on. And then, of course, we're offering now a book called Hostage to the Devil. It was written by Malachi Martin, Catholic priest, a Jesuit priest that we got to know, fortunately, and we actually, of course, have our four-tape set. You can get either the book, Hostage to the Devil, or the four-tape set, Interviews with Malachi Martin, or you can get them all together in the Malachi Martin special. And then, of course, we have the book by Johanna Michelson, who was a medium. It's called The Beautiful Side of Evil, and then, of course, you can get our interviews with her in the four-tape set entitled The Supernatural. If you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to read that as a primer, and you need to read it several times to begin to getting an overview of this supernatural battle in which we're engaged. And it is a supernatural battle because there really are people who are energized by supernatural forces. There really is evil in the world. They intend to kill off the majority of the world population. And if you haven't actually seen my talk on planned population reduction, that's planned population reduction, you need to get that. You need, of course, to watch it several times. You need to get our population control special. Go to our website and pull down our monograph. It's called the Population Control Agenda Monograph, where they talk about killing off over 90% of the world's population. If you're not involved, you or your family may be one of the victims. And then I number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants,
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the stations you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, of course, the views of our callers. And, well, right now, of course, we're hoping against hope we're going to have Mr. Robert Young Pelton with us. He's written a new fascinating book called License to Kill. That's License to Kill, Hired Guns in the War on Terror. And, of course, what most people don't understand is there really are secret armies out there, and most people have never heard of them. They have no idea how they all tie together. Well, Mr. Pelton has done a fascinating job, you know, of tracking down many of the stories and talking to many of the people who are part of these very secret armies, and they tie into Blackwater and to several other similar paramilitary organizations that are privately run. They're privately run armies. And then, of course, there are always the people who are the contact operators for the Central Intelligence Agency. Mr. Pelton, you've written a fascinating book.
Well, thank you.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, you've actually studied this sort of thing for quite some time, haven't you?
Yeah, well, normally I'm better known for a book called The World's Most Dangerous Places, which I've been writing for over 10 years. And that allows me to travel around the world and to meet with various combatants and fighting groups. And usually I stumble across some interesting permutations or developments. My previous book was about mercenaries and proxy armies and rebels and jihadis. This one is about contractors, which I think is an interesting new phenomenon.
Well, of course, the contractors really are mercenaries, though, aren't they, and all for all intents and purposes?
No, I think a mercenary is someone who's hired to do offensive work. In other words, he gets up in the morning and kills people. Security contractor is someone who's hired to do defensive work, which means he gets up in the morning and he still has the same ability and the same skill sets, but he's not allowed to just randomly go out and kill people. So he only uses lethal force when his client or his project is attacked.
Well, of course, you had a story there about some fellow named Billy Wall, who sounded like a fascinating fellow.
Yeah, and then this is the point I want to make, is that the terms mercenary, contractor, paramilitary all have different definitions, but the skill set is the same. And Billy Wall, to me, is one of the most interesting people in this field, because he tried to join up when he was 16 in World War II, so he's an amazing timeline, but he has been everything. He's been a soldier, he's been a paramilitary, he's been a contractor, and an assassin. So he gives us a baseline for understanding these people.
And, of course, you really draw a fascinating picture of him, and his efforts, even in the 70s, a 70-year-old man leading a unit into Afghanistan. I mean, it's almost incredible.
Well, there's two things that you can draw from that. One is that's how hard up we were for skilled, experienced people after 9/11. Billy's, one of his first jobs was to try to recruit enough people, about 60-some-odd people, just so we could complete our initial mission. And you're talking about under 200 people won the war in Afghanistan when it came to the ground operation. The second thing you take away from that is that these guys, old soldiers, never die. They just become contractors.
And, of course, I thought one of the most fascinating parts of your book was the fact that we actually have contractors working right in Pakistan. Of course, we're told, oh, we couldn't do that. We couldn't violate, the integrity, the sovereignty of Pakistan. And yet you were there and you saw them, didn't you?
Right. I mean, this idea of deniability by using civilian contractors has been around for a long time. You remember the Contras, you remember the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. These were proxy armies, even up until the Northern Alliance, and even what they called the Eastern Alliance, were essentially mercenaries hired up and trained by hired guns. When we talk about breaking laws or doing bad things, we outsource that.
And if we don't do it ourselves, we hire somebody else to commit the crimes. And then they get into trouble, we just abandoned him.
Exactly.
We'll be right back in just a moment.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations. So if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
When my son started having behavior problems, the Total Transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Do you need an instruction manual for your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance and backtalking. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Well, this is Arthur Stan, and we've been talking with Mr. Robert Jan Pelton about his book, License to Kill. And, of course, he goes into all of these various organizations. I think one of the most fascinating you talk about is the Blackwater Group run by a man named, what is it, Eric Prince?
Eric Prince, yes.
Why don't you tell our listeners about that? Because here's a man who comes from a fabulously wealthy family. And yet, of course, he's set up this organization, really started out from scratch, and pretty soon it's getting contracts, what, about a half a billion dollars a year or something like
that? Yeah, he right now his company is about $500 or $600 million a year, depending on that. But it's a private company, so you'll never know. I chose Blackwater because Blackwater is not only the largest privately held security company working in Iraq right now, but it was basically born on September 11th. Before 9/11, Eric had bought 6,000 acres in a swamp in Moyock, North Carolina, and wanted to rent out his facilities to train people on. When 9/11 hit, as I mentioned, the CIA had some serious manpower shortages, so he got a contract immediately to bolster the hunt for bin Laden along the border at Shkin and Kabul and also in Herat. They basically guarded CIA operatives. And then when Iraq came about, he was given the contract to keep Paul Bremer alive and then shipped in helicopters, armored vehicles, and about five dozen men. And he has grown repeatedly until now. He is probably the single sole provider of security for much of the State Department and the CIA around the world. So he's become a very important part of this industry. But where he really takes off is that he's offering a 1,740-man army that he wants to use in peacekeeping or intervention purposes, and that is interesting.
And, of course, didn't you say that he was planning on, and actually hoping in the next year or two, to train about 35,000 people? Now, I don't know if it'd be all for his own purposes, but he would train them for anybody who wanted them trained.
Yeah, now, don't forget, when you talk to these folks, they don't spend a lot of time qualifying what they say, and they always mean, when they say they're going to train soldiers or deploy armies, that they're doing it in the interest of the U.S., even though these are private corporations. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the men he trains have that same opinion or attitude.
And, of course, you point out the fact that, you know, certainly these people are very well armed. I mean, they have got hand grenades and automatic rifles and, mm-hmm. and machine guns and armored personnel carriers sometimes. And so they have to be, you know, if I were to say I'd like to just to buy a few hand grenades, and, you know, the people would laugh at you. So he actually has high connections within the intelligence agencies, so he can get all this military equipment, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing that is disturbing. All this equipment needs licenses, and you have to get permission and imports and things like that. But the ability to deliver lethal violence usually is the responsibility of the state, in other words, our government. When that ability to deal in lethal violence is handed into the private sector, it disturbs a lot of people. And it's very natural that people would start asking questions. The asking question part is about to happen, but the actual answers have yet not been delivered.
Well, certainly, the interesting thing is, as you describe the various types of people who are in this, some of them, you point out, are ex-SEALs and ex-Delta Force, but some of them are actually sheep-dipped, aren't they? I mean, would you like to talk a little bit about what this is all about, who these people are, and what they're... What drives a man for a salary to go over there and risk his life, you know, where he won't have any of the protections that anybody else would, like the men who were over in Laos during the Vietnam War, and they were just, we pulled out, we left them there, and none of them ever came home.
Well, this is a very important thing. There is an entire world of covert operations, and that includes CIA paramilitaries, contractors, what they call sheep dipping. Sheep dipping is when you're actively serving within special forces and you're asked to go do a mission because you have a certain skill. On your resume, it won't say that you went into this country and did this job. It'll just show that you were seconded to someone. When those people are caught or captured, they are denied. In other words, whether they are civilians or whether they actually work for the CIA, there is denial. When you go into the headquarters of the CIA, you just see stars on the walls for the people that were killed. They don't usually talk about why they were killed or where they were killed. So we assume that the CIA is up to, you know, good things because they're working for us. But when it gets into the civilian area, you always wonder, what if you task these people to do bad things? And that same secrecy sort of works against the industry because corporations are not accountable to the American public.
And, of course, there's so many strange things you talk about. You talk about when this Billy Wall was over in Libya, mm-hmm. working for a fellow named Ed Wilson.
Yeah.
Ed Wilson was obviously working for the CIA, and he was training the troops for Gaddafi. Would you like to get into that story? Because this is one of the most incredible stories of deceit and deception mm-hmm. and, frank betrayal of part of our government to allow an innocent man to be sent to jail for 20 years.
Right. And this is where it gets very disturbing, because Billy Waugh is a patriot. He's a, you know, like you say, he's a decorated soldier, served his country well. When he got out, I think it was in his 50s or late 40s, he was approached much the same way that all CIA contractors are approached, by someone that he knew, and he said, you know, dress for a desert climate. And so Billy just assumed that he was working for the CIA until he was actually contacted by someone in the agency and said, hey, if you're going over on this gig, can you take some pictures for us? And he was a little confused by that because he thought he was working for the CIA. When he did this contract, which was essentially training Muammar Gaddafi's bodyguard, which is a strange thing to do if you're in the CIA, he was told to leave the country immediately. He did. And this entire operation was judged to be a rogue operation, and Wilson went to jail for a number of things. Well, then later on, the CIA finally believed that, well, yes, he did work for us. So that means that he took the heat. In other words, he went to jail simply to cover up a botched CIA operation.
Well, because here the CIA is backing the wicked Omar Gaddafi, you know.
Then he bombed the heck out of him years later.
I mean, there's so many things you find where helping our enemies and we're sometimes destroying our friends, and you talk about a rogue operation. Here's Billy Wall. He thinks he's working for the CIA, and he's not working for the CIA. He's working for something else. He doesn't even know what he's working for, does he?
Well, there's also the case of Jack Adema in the book, who is neither a CIA contractor or a member of the U.S. military or a law-abiding person who goes over to Afghanistan, sets up his own rogue bounty hunting operation because he's wearing sort of a faux uniform. Everybody assumes that he must be working as a paramilitary like Billy Waugh, and even Billy Waugh tries to expose him, but he doesn't get arrested for almost 2 or 3 years. So this line has become blurred, and one of the reasons why I think this book is so important is because you need to understand that within this group of men who are dedicated, patriotic, and hardworking, there is a fringe element of both dark secrecy and criminality.
Now, was this fellow that you're speaking of in Afghanistan, was he the one who was torturing people to try to get evidence on Osama bin Laden? And then, of course, when they arrested him, he said, "Look, I'm working for this general back in Washington." And the general said, "I never heard of this guy."
Exactly.
And he suddenly realizes he's been betrayed by the people that he thought he was working for. And is he in the Afghan prison now?
Yes, he's in Polcharki, and he was a con man. He's a convicted criminal. He's been in jail in the U.S. for wire fraud. But because there's that sort of element of, well, maybe he is telling the truth, and maybe he's being persecuted by the Afghans, we always give him the benefit of that. But it's proven in my book that he was a criminal and a con artist.
Yeah, but of course, could he also be a criminal con artist who was working for the CIA?
Well, see, I proved conclusively that he was not, simply because people that work for the CIA don't try to sell their footage and film and photographs to the news media.
All right.
So he was in reality shooting a sort of documentary about himself, trying to make money and aggrandize himself.
Well, of course, he was torturing all these poor old Afghans, had them hanging up from the ceilings, and so you just don't know what's really going on.
And he has that footage on the internet right now. If you Google Adema and the Super Patriots, you'll see that he's posted what he considers to be confessions on the internet, and yet these people are completely innocent. They were not convicted of any crime. But that just shows you how much abuse there can be in this sort of concept of secrecy and using civilian contractors to do dirty work.
And of course, you're having these very highly trained, very, very efficient organizations. And one of the problems we have is we've got a United Nations. They don't even know what to do in Darfur. I mean, here a couple of 100,000 people have died there, and nobody's doing anything. And so sometimes, of course, these mercenary armies will offer their services, and they actually can do what the regular army units can't. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, but I make the point that today's peacekeepers who work for the UN typically come from third world countries. They're underpaid, they're undertrained. They're actually part of the problem, and they're slow to deploy. We have plenty of ex-military folks who would like to work in a peacekeeping facility, or in a capability, but I also talk about the companies like Executive Outcomes and Sandline, who went in to rescue countries like Sierra Leone and Bougainville, but ended up being sort of more rapacious in taking over the natural resources of those countries. So there's always a cautionary note in these tales.
And of course, you point out that many of these people just like the thrill and they like the money. But there's not a tremendous amount of loyalty, or at least certainly morality among them.
Yeah, I mean, amongst the better folks, there is professionalism and loyalty. But when it gets down to people who are just in it for the money, they're not going to die for $500 a day. It doesn't make sense.
All right, well, now what about Blackwater at the present time? It's really doing pretty well with almost a half a billion dollars. And here's an organization that didn't exist, 5 years ago.
Right. Now, Blackwater, I think, is a good company. I think they're overly aggressive in promoting this idea of a privatized military, I think, which scares the left wing at night because it also scares the right wing because you're not supposed to have private armies in this country.
Not marching around in American cities like New Orleans. I mean, what was Blackwater doing in New Orleans?
Well, that was their first peacekeeping operation.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, why did the Bush administration bring would we call them a security operation? You wouldn't want to call them mercenaries.
No, they were deputized. The interesting thing about Blackwater New Orleans is that Eric was concerned, and he dispatched one of his helicopters and a crew down there. They rescued a lot of people. Then he sent some men down there with weapons. They were deputized instantly because many of them were actually cops, working for Blackwater.
Hold on. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Robert Young Pelton talking about License to Kill.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you have already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Are you totally satisfied with the nourishment you're getting? Do you have enough energy to do everything you really want to do? And are you content to remain in your current state of health indefinitely? Have you already tried diets, exercise, vitamins, juicing, or the latest, greatest nutritional wonder products? Perhaps those things have grown tiresome and not made you feel and look as well as you'd really like to. But what if you found from a single source the world's freshest, purest, most complete, whole, live food nourishment that tastes delicious and couldn't be any easier to consume? Well, you just did. So don't hesitate. Take the living energy you've always wanted from your nutrition right now. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on gcnlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
Stan, and Chris Robert Young Pelton is our guest today. His book is entitled License to Kill, and it goes into the hired guns and the war on terror. And of course, we're talking about Dine Corporation, we're talking about Blackwater. There are these professional paramilitary organizations. They can be used for guarding, for security. These are not like some of the other groups you talk about, where they really are, of course, very, very aggressive military accents, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
As there were certainly in Afghanistan. With this group of people that were sent in there, they were professional. Well, those were mercenaries that went in
right
after the 9-1-1, wasn't it?
Yes, and keep in mind that the Northern Alliance were essentially mercenaries, and then when the CIA didn't have any sort of indigenous resistance groups in the South, they created one called the Eastern Alliance, which was exactly what we would define as mercenaries.
Yeah.
So the CIA has no qualms in hiring both resistance groups and creating resistance groups from nothing.
Well, of course, the most amazing thing about Afghanistan is we fought almost a eight or nine year war there in order to defeat the Soviets. And who was backing the Soviets but the Northern Alliance? And now, of course, now we hire the Northern Alliance to help us, of course, go after the wicked Taliban, who it actually had come out of Pakistan that we were financing. So this thing gets so complicated, it's sort of hard to find out who the bad guys are and who the good guys are, isn't it?
Well, a mercenary is somebody that can be hired to do bad or good things, and that's really the key here. And one of the points I make in the book over and over again is that someone might have military skill sets, but he can be harnessed to do good or bad. And in the last chapter where we talk about overthrowing Equatorial Guinea, you see contractors working in Iraq that take their vacation to go overthrow a country to work as mercenaries.
Right. Well, I think we're in a very, very dangerous position a number of times. You're talking about, going through Afghanistan and actually going up there on the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan and, the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda are actually working there. And I think one of the things you really helped me is to differentiate the Afghans from the Talibans, from the Pashtuns, to the Arabs. And maybe you could explain what all those terms are, because they play such an important part of what's going on over there. And most people don't know the difference between an Arab and a Taliban.
Right. Well, I spent a lot of time in Afghanistan and studying and visiting these groups before 9/11. And the Taliban, Talib means student, and it was essentially a nickname or a term used to describe the Pashtun elements who came out of Pakistan to take over Afghanistan in the mid-90s. The Taliban do not necessarily represent the Pashtun. In other words, the Pashtun tribe is the majority tribe in Afghanistan and also across the tribal areas in Pakistan. Currently, what we call the Taliban now are not really the same people that we deposed back in 2001 and 2002. They're paid fighters. They're mercenaries. They come from Pakistan. Many of them are Pakistani, and many of them are Afghans, and they come in and fight inside Afghanistan and then go back across the border. Al-Qaeda, as we call it, is essentially a catch-all term for foreigners. In other words, Arabs that come from Saudi Arabia, Uzbeks that come from Central Asia, who come in, don't speak the language, and that's really the key, trained to fight and then go in and pledge their allegiance to jihad, or in this case, Osama bin Laden as their benefactor. Al-Qaeda is found all around the world. In other words, foreigners fighting around the world for jihad. The Taliban is only found inside Pakistan and Afghanistan. But the Taliban are the exact same people that we backed. We spent $6 billion along with the Saudis to back these people fighting the Russians. And we are fighting many of the same commanders that we paid to fight the Russians. So it's almost deja vu over there.
Well, of course, the thing that's even more disturbing to me is who is putting up the money for the modern-day Palestine? Taliban, it takes money to have a military operation. I mean, this is not something you just do on your own.
Correct.
I mean, the weapons cost money. You've got to feed the people. You've got to have a tremendous support for them. So they've been going to be, they're coming in from Pakistan. Would it be fair to say that a lot of the Taliban that are going in there now and killing the people in Afghanistan are being funded by our good allies, the Pakistanis?
Yes, the ISI, the Inter-Services Intelligence Agency, is really the group that runs Pakistan. Musharraf is mostly a figurehead who's terrified of getting blown up, so he's pledged his allegiance to America. They've tried to kill him 7 times, and I'm sure they'll do it someday. The ISI very understands the concept that if they lose the Pashtun constituency, they will be a weaker nation, so they support the Taliban in their efforts inside Afghanistan.
So basically, we support Musharraf and Pakistan. They support the ISI. The ISI supports the Taliban, and it's like deja vu all over again.
Exactly. And we learned this in the 80s, and we forgot it, and we still haven't learned it yet.
Oh, right, right. Well, this is a fascinating book. Where can people get copies of it?
Any bookstore. Go to Barnes & Noble's. Go on Amazon. Amazon's probably your fastest, cheapest way. I think it's 32% off today. I looked at it. But do enjoy this book, and I'd love to hear people's feedback when they go back on Amazon and post reviews.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number here, we'll take some calls when we get back at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant that protects our immune system, but we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters, and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available from Radio Liberty, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Radio Liberty Health Catalog.
If you're looking at the world today from within the box, you must see total chaos and feel lost with no hope. Out-of-the-box thinkers, such as Nostradamus, who saw the world from a different perspective, knew that nature or God's truth would prevail. They saw that today's organized religions and governments are being judged, not with the hand of man through atomic wars, but with the hand of God through natural disasters. We are judging ourselves during this trying apocalyptic period by all our hidden truths being uncovered. Don't you see this happening through the media today? Just remember these famous words. Everything hidden will be uncovered, and the truth will make you free. For evidence of these statements, get Jerry Vanno's new book, The Uncovering of the Greatest Story Never Told. Go to www.gvanno.com. That's www.gvanno.com.
Remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
America, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have on the line with us from San Jose, Elijah. Elijah, did you have a question or comment? Oh, let's see. Let's pull Elijah. Elijah, there.
Sir.
Did you have a question for our guest?
Well, not really, but I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate you offering Craig Wynn's Prophet of Doom book.
All right, fine. Well, I think that it's an excellent book. It's well worthwhile reading. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, well, I gave it to the chief of police here, Rob Davis, in San Jose, and also Colonel Oliver North when Sean Hannity had him in here in Cupertino, and Michael Reagan and Barbara Simpson over there on KSFO. So I've been getting that book out, and I appreciate you selling it because there is no more authoritative book than chapter and verse for what Muhammad said and did.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much. Appreciate it. That's a plug for Craig's one book, The Prophet of Doom. Bye-bye. God bless.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. Well, our guest, of course, is Robert Young Pelton, and his book is License to Kill. And it's really sort of an exciting book. You almost get this exhilaration of riding right along with him, Mr. Pelton, as he's bumping over these roads there. And, you know, in Afghanistan, everybody's got a rifle, and they're all looking at him. And if you ever see those blue eyes, they know he's not an Afghan, no matter how he's dressed. My telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, you know, you begin to look into this whole world of the paramilitary organizations that are out there. Now, how often do these groups over there, these these Blackwater troops actually ever have to get involved. The shootout is most of it simply boredom as you transport people back and forth from the airport to the Green Zone in Baghdad and elsewhere.
Well, we would hope that it's boredom, but my experience is that there are quite a few contacts between insurgents and contractors. And there are two cases outlined in the book where the only people left to defend a U.S. position were contractors. And in the case of Najaf and Al-Qut in Iraq in the spring of 2004, I think, and they became the only fighting force left in sort of an Alamo-type situation. Contractors are very favored targets of the insurgents, and they do get into firefights quite often.
Well, now, do they really have the adequate equipment ready to deal with that? And can they get any air support? Because, of course, it's the air support that makes our small units already so deadly.
Right. Typically, contractors can put in for emergency help from the military, and the military is happy to do it if they have the capability, but the military really is busy doing other things. So it's odd that they would break away to provide any kind of major support. They have what they call QRS, Quick Reaction Forces, so they're more likely to dispatch sort of a Humvee and a few vehicles to help them out of a jam.
All right, fine. Well, what about the heavy equipment that they use? Do they have the machine guns? Do they have the howitzers? Do they have the mortars and other things?
No, but the heaviest a contractor can go up to is what they call a PKM, which is a 7.65 heavy machine gun, which has a good punch to it, but anything more than that is not allowed. Some of them sneak fragmentary grenades, if they have to break off a contact. Some will bum rocket launchers from their buddies in the Marines, because many of these guys, of course, are ex-Marines and ex-military. But typically they're down to the typical AK-47, M4, or Glock sidearm.
All right, fine. And what about the grenade launchers? Can they have something like that?
No, because most of their contacts are extremely quick. And, some do carry the grenade launcher under their M4s, but typically when you get hit by the insurgents, their job is to get away fast, and they like to tell people they get paid to run away sometimes. But there's been some very bloody contacts, of course, as you know, in Iraq, between contractors and insurgents.
Well, how many of the contractors have actually been killed? We know about the four in Fallujah that, of course, got international attention. But what about the rest of them? You mentioned that Mr. Eric Prince, who really leads the Blackwater Group, it's his baby, but you mentioned he keeps sort of a low a profile because, of course, there are all sorts of lawsuits because his employees have been killed. But then when they go over, they know there's a chance on being killed.
Right. About 400 contractors have been killed. Just to give you the numbers, there's about 70,000 contractors working over there right now. About half of those are Iraqis. Half of them are expats, in other words, foreigners. Of the Americans and some of the registered ones, about 400 have been killed since 2003. It's a fairly high attrition rate for a job that's supposed to just be a security guard. But there are many more that are killed. Many Iraqis are gunned down that work as security contractors, and you never hear about them. So it's a very dangerous job.
Well, of course, you differentiate, of course, the contractors from already from those people who are... this fellow that you met up on the Afghan border sounds like he was getting about $1,200 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now the salary's coming down dramatically?
Well, at the very top end, if you have the top security clearance, you can make about $1,200 a day. Those jobs are disappearing. If you have security clearance and you work for the CIA, these days you're more likely to get $650 a day. So it has shrunk almost by 50%.
Well, are they staying over there? Are they just going over there for, a fast buck and then coming home?
Most contractors, and in the book you get to experience these people as they come in and train up and go over, most contractors are actually driven by financial desperation, not just need. They come out of the military, they get into trouble, they got to pay off a mortgage, they get a divorce, they want to buy a boat or whatever. And then they also enjoy the camaraderie. They're ex-soldiers, they're bored in the civilian life, they go over there to meet friends. And then thirdly, there is a sense of patriotic duty. It's rarely you'll find a contractor who says, I'm here for the money. They'll give you these excuses. But ultimately, they get into this very deadly profession because they get into a pickle in real life, and this is the fastest way to make money to solve that problem.
What about health insurance? because you can get major war wounds, it costs you a fortune to take care of.
There is an insurance policy, like I said, the Defense Base Act, where there is a standard government policy for people that work in war zones. It's not much. their medical care. Usually, if you are picked up by a U.S. military medevac, they will take care of your medical bills. If you make the mistake, like one contractor did, is walking away from the scene of a firefight and not actually waiting around for the medevac, you get stuck with all your own medical bills.
All right, well, let's go to Ben, who's calling us from Salinas. Hi, Ben. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I did, sir. This money that these mercenaries receive, am I wrong? Is this tax exempt?
It's a very good question, because most offshore-based companies are British. In other words, if you work for a British company, they'll pay you in a bank account in Cyprus or Monaco or Dubai. They don't really care. Most American companies will deduct or pay you, and you'll have to pay taxes on it. So it makes a huge difference, because you're talking about people making $150,000 a year. They're going to be in the 35-40% tax bracket.
But this is American taxpayer dollars, and my added anger is that they're exempt from the... They cannot be persecuted for the wrongdoing that they're doing. I mean, we're a Christian country. How can we stand behind that, sir?
Well, that's a fantastic point here, because not only... Because Paul Bremer came up with Memo 17, which made that all contractors... said that all contractors working in Iraq are exempt from Iraqi law. As a contractor, you can work tax-free over there and not pay any U.S. taxes. So the trickle-down or the bounce-back idea of the Bush administration, that if we spend billions of dollars in Iraq, it all comes back to us anyways... Doesn't really work out that way.
Well, Ben, I wish we were a Christian nation, but I think that you judge people not by what they say, but by what they do.
Well, I would say this. God bless America, and we can do better.
Amen. God bless. Thank you so much, Ben. Okay, fine. And, of course, our telephone number, once again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And we're basically talking about Robert Young Pelton, and he's had an opportunity to travel all over the country, already all over the world, meeting these men, meeting the contractors, and you know, your previous book was more on mercenaries than on contractors.
Yeah, like I said, the thing that fascinated me was how it's not really warfare between two governments anymore, like you saw in World War II and maybe the Korean War. You're seeing non-state players, mercenaries, jihadis, rebels, even mystical hunters in Africa fighting each other. And these, I thought, were aberrations in countries like Chechnya or Sierra Leone or Bougainville. But now you're seeing a widespread use of non-state actors being able to deal out violence. And as a country, it's very difficult to use a traditional military to fight a non-state player.
But, of course, if you do not have a country behind you, it's very very difficult to accomplish much of anything. You can be irritating, like a fly buzzing around somebody's head, and they may swat a few flies. But, you know, unless you have a country behind you, you know, with the finances and the sophisticated military gear, it's just sort of like playing a little game, hit, run, you know. But, you know, but you're not really going to change the structure of society.
Right. Now, keep in mind that people like bin Laden, our enemy, is not proposing to take over America or to start some country. His philosophy has always been to be like a mouse and the elephant and hope that the mouse scares the elephant enough that it tears down the tent. There's no political direction or goal in what he's doing.
Well, did you think that bin Laden is over there somewhere in northern Pakistan today?
You know, the bin Laden business is like the Al-Qaeda business. There's, for every 1,000 experts, you know, there's $1,000. Bin Laden, as far as I can guess, based on the people I've talked to, travels between the northern part of Pakistan, which is called Chitral, along the tribal areas, and over to the eastern border of Iran. It is my guess that both the countries of Pakistan and Iran have a vested interest in providing protection to bin Laden, because he could be their ace in the hole.
Well, there's some people who think that bin Laden is dead, and that, of course, he's just being kept alive by our CIA, so we'll have an enemy to fear. Could there be any possibility that's true, or do you think that's just sort of this hysteria that we hear so often?
Well, you've got an interesting point there. You know, there's an old saying, if you caught the devil, why would people go to church? The idea that bin Laden has become the Antichrist and drives all our political and military spending and decisions is kind of fascinating, because even if you take it one step further and say, let's say he was dead, you know, bin Laden wins either way. Either he's a martyr that's worshipped by, you know, extremists, or he's ineffective. But it doesn't change the fact that there are large groups of violent people that will continue to attack not only our country, but Western countries around the world.
All right, fine. Well, certainly, you know, as we see all of these organizations, we've talked about Blackwater, we've talked about DynCorp. What about some of the others?
Well, one thing I brought to focus here are the English companies. The English have been doing this type of thing for centuries. They're used to working in hostile foreign environments. And they have their own problems with Northern Ireland, for example, an insurgency where you have to conduct business. And so I point out that companies like Armour Group, Hart, Control Risk Groups, are actually much more seasoned practitioners of privatized security because of this heritage going back to the dawn of the British Empire.
Whatever happened to those mercenaries? I think one of them involved the son of Margaret Thatcher. They were off to overthrow one of the African countries. Whatever happened to them?
Well, what happened was that the company, the Executive Outcomes, the original mercenary company from the mid-90s, fell on disfavor. It sort of morphed into Sandline, and then the principals needed some money. So they decided, well, why should we wait for some desperate dictator or some big industrialist? Let's just finance ourselves. And they went after a country called Equatorial Guinea, which is a tiny, tiny country which has a lot of oil in the armpit of West Africa. They got investors like Margaret Thatcher's son, Mark Thatcher. They bought and rented aircraft. They hired mercenaries, and they even used contractors. But unfortunately, their security was so bad that they were arrested in Zimbabwe. One of the main planners was my security guy when I was in Liberia in 2002, Nick Dutoy. And it was sort of a Trojan horse philosophy. They would go in, gain the trust of the dictator, find an outside person that they could replace him with. And strangely enough, most people don't know this, but The Dogs of War, the Frederick Forsyth novel, was written in Equatorial Guinea about overthrowing that country. So it's kind of a humorous connection.
Well, but what actually happened to them, though? Because I know a lot of them are arrested.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're in jail, and they will be in jail for a while. And both Zimbabwe and Equatorial Guinea are sort of gloating over the fact that they've stopped white mercenaryism in Africa. But some people say that it's a shame they weren't arrested after they deposed the dictator.
Well, we really shouldn't laugh at it, though, because it's really such a tragic situation. And the poor people over there in Africa, I mean, you replace one dictator with another dictator, and he's even worse than the one they had before so often. And these people, you know, they're dying of disease. They can't get ahead. Poverty is endemic. You know, the schools in many areas are non-existent. And the blacks really don't have an opportunity for a better life. And the one country where they did have that opportunity, Rhodesia, why, the American State Department, toppled their government and put in one of the most ruthless dictators in Africa, a fellow named Mugabe.
Mm-hmm.
How can we always be making such stupid mistakes?
Well, first of all, we don't actually care about Africa. One of the sad things about Africa is that it is probably the worst place on earth, places like the Congo, where you have everything from Ebola to AIDS to warfare to corruption. It wouldn't take that much money to fix, but we only do it in half measures. It's like taking half the medicine you're supposed to. One of the reasons why mercenaries can flourish in a place like that is once you grab the diamond mines or the sources of revenue, you pretty much have the whole country under your control. So we need to relook at how you fix things in Africa, and part of fixing things is to do it properly. In other words, put enough horsepower into the solution. I mean, if you look at Darfur, there's an extremely ineffective solution in place with African peacekeepers who are doing nothing.
And, of course, people are still continuing to be slaughtered there. It's such a tragedy, and I don't know what the solution is. I mean, certainly an efficient paramilitary organization could go in there and with a relatively few men could restore law and order, especially if they had air cover.
That's exactly correct. And one of the fascinating things about the privatization of military is they come to you with solutions. People like Blackwater, Hart Security, actually have plans on the table to bring peace to Darfur. They want to get involved in Lebanon. They want to go into the Congo. And they feel that they can do it cheaper and more efficiently. They don't want 30,000 peacekeepers bumping into each other. They just want to send 700 men who know what they're doing. And they want to bring in trained ex-military professionals who aren't going to, you know, be involved in child prostitution and corruption and drugs. So it's worth looking at. And the unfortunate thing is that there is no forum to look at those ideas and say, well, maybe let's try this. Since everything else has failed, maybe we'll just try this.
Well, I think one of the most amazing stories, I don't think the most Americans really understand what happened when our forces went into Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
As you pointed out, you know, what, 600 or 800 men? You know, and with the help of the Northern Alliance and air power, they took the whole country.
Right. I mean, I was with the Special Forces team that landed in Afghanistan, and I spent quite a bit of time in the war there. And I learned something very, very important, that well-intentioned, well-trained men left to their own devices always make the right decisions when they're working with the locals. It's when we overlay political objectives and we don't listen to the locals and we don't listen to the experts we've created, that's when we get into trouble.
And this really is so true. In fact, I've read some stories of what really happened there. It was truly an amazing military accomplishment. And then, of course, we get Donald Rumsfeld involved, and we go from bad to worse. Well, we're going to be back here. We've just got 3 minutes more to go. Once again, the book is License to Kill, Hired Guns, The War on Terror, a fascinating read. I recommend it to you out there, the audience. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap up our program here with Robert Young Pelton. Have you ever wondered why the incidence of cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
In December 2005, CNN had a special documentary about the inevitability of nuclear terrorism on American soil. When the mainstream media is reporting on such a perilous topic with such candor, it should be taken very seriously. Currently for sale by owner, the ultimate secure home is strategically located in the awesome mountains of southwest Colorado. This patented steel-reinforced concrete earth home was built to withstand any natural or man-made disaster you can name, whether that be a forest fire, an earthquake, or even a full-scale nuclear attack. The house is completely off-grid with solar electricity and an independent water supply. It even has a hidden fallout shelter with NVC air filtration. Its many self-sufficient and high-security features will amaze you. With nuclear World War III looming ever closer on the horizon, this custom survival home is turnkey, ready for a new owner. For more information, visit www.ultimatesecurehome.com. That's www.ultimatesecurehome.com.
By now, it is no surprise that the U.S. ranks 37th in the world in occurrence of chronic illness, according to the World Health Organization. Due to modern farming and food processing practices, our food supply has become nutrition deficient, deficient in nutrients essential to good health. It is time to take back your health. Everyone has the right to good health. Join the self-reliant families, entrepreneurs, and the company pioneering cutting-edge glyconutrient technology. The wellness revolution is projected to be a $1 trillion industry by 2010. We are looking for people who are serious about bettering their lives and the lives of the people they love. Better health is possible. To learn more, go to therighttogoodhealth.com. You have the right to decide what is attainable in your lifetime. You have the right to build a healthy lifestyle that you can share with your friends and family. You have the right to achieve self-reliance and financial independence. And you have the right to good health. Visit therighttogoodhealth.com.
With Robert Young Pelton. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Robert Young Pelton. His book, License to Kill, and of course he's been to a lot of the places and had some fascinating experiences and described some fascinating people. Well, this is the time when we really need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We have a little different attitude towards what's going on. I mean, certainly we recognize all of the things we've talked about today, but behind all of this, our powerful spiritual forces. I ask, why don't we try to stop the drug trade? Why, very simply, because the CIA is one of the major forces behind the drug trade, because there is within the Central Intelligence Agency a dark side that is encouraging drug use not only for profit, but for its destructive capacity, because there really are people out there who want to see the destruction of lives and who cherish this idea of having wars and violence and these terrible things, because these people are inherently evil. Whether it would be dropping the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki 5 to 6 months after the Japanese had tried to surrender and we wouldn't let them, whether it would be supporting the Chinese communist government that starved between 41 and 43 million people of their own people to death between 1958 and 1962, and you can check that out on the internet. Just Google in the Great Hunger or Chinese Famine, 58 to 62. And then, of course, because they control the medium here in America, the average American's never heard of the Great Famine or so many of the other terrible things going on, the way we banned DDT and almost 100 million people have died in the last 33 years. About 3 million people a year died unnecessarily of malaria, and we didn't outlaw DDT because it wasn't safe or because it was harmful. We outlawed it because it was saving so many human lives, at least according to Alexander King, who was chairman of the Club of Rome at the time we outlawed DDT. And this is all covered in our little pamphlet, the documentation for what we say, called the Population Control Agenda Monograph, available on our website at RadioLiberty.com, or if you want to get my talk on the planned population reduction, available in video or DVD, or the Population Control video or the Population Control special, and you simply ask for that, why, we'll be glad to send it to you. If you'd like to read the entire text of Dr. David MacArthur's testimony before the House Appropriations Committee for the Military back in 1969, we have the entire text, 40, 50 pages, where he asked for $10 million to create a new disease for which there will be no immune response. And as he says, some people say we shouldn't do it because it would be another means of mass killing, but we want the money. And there really are people out there who have an entirely different worldview. So understand what this is about. We're fighting a spiritual battle on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Well, we want to remind you, we are putting on an all-day conference. It's going to be at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course on the 29th of October. And if you can be coming from an outside area and you need a room, why, we'll have rooms held for 2 more weeks, and then we're going to have to release them. But if you'd like to get a room at a reduced rate and you're coming, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We're going to be serving lunch, so we need to know if you're coming. Give us a call at the same number, 1-800-544-8927. Get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Oh, I want to mention I will be speaking in Santa Rosa, the Santa Rosa Christian Church, Saturday morning. And if you're interested in going, give us a call. We'll put you in touch with the people who are putting that on. Encourage others to listen to our programs. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And encourage them to listen, to begin to understand what this is really about. And then pray for America. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Scholl. An Amnesty International report accuses Hezbollah of war crimes in its conflict with Israel this summer. Warren Levingston is in New York.
Amnesty International concludes Hezbollah broke international law by targeting Israeli civilians in the month-long war across the border with Lebanon. Amnesty researcher Marty Rosenbluth, who was in northern Israel during the war, says the use of rockets packed with ball bearings was a deliberate attempt to kill civilians.
People on the ground up there were calling them shredders. Basically, anything or anyone within several hundred yards is just completely shredded by these things.
Amnesty, which issued a report critical of Israel last month, says the charges of war crimes on both sides ought to be investigated by the United Nations.
Wearing a sharp suit rather than his traditional green fatigues, Raul Castro made his first official appearance with world leaders today. He took over as acting president when older brother Fidel became